Mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. This year marks 30 years since I've graduated from seminary. I graduated from Biblical Theological Seminary in Hatfield, Pennsylvania, in May 1990. The build-up to May of 1990 was filled with deadlines, and I knew I had to be as busy as a beaver to finish well. The closing of that chapter was about to take place, and quite frankly, I had a lot of mixed emotions. On the one hand, I was relieved that the finish line was in sight for my formal education, but I was apprehensive, because I was faced with the what do I do now question. I would soon find out as I placed my name in at churches who were without a pastor that many men were applying at the same time to churches, and they had beefed up resumes, 10, 15 years of experience. I was a rookie, and no matter how well, I tried to polish my resume, a rookie cannot dodge the question of lack of experience. Yes, I had listed where I had gone to church while I was in seminary, and I had references of a pastor and two elders, and yes, I had completed a pastoral internship. But all things being equal, a pastoral search committee is going to give more weight to a man with 15 years of experience versus a young Turk. I remember talking with a co-worker at the supermarket that I worked at, telling him I wished some church would just let me get my foot in the door. All I wanted to do and still want to do is to serve. In Acts 13, we see Saul and Barnabas being consecrated to the work of the Lord and going forth to serve God and the churches. Yes, in a similar way, they had been involved in preaching and teaching the gospel. But in Acts 13, we really have the involvement and the endorsement of the entire church as they discern God's call on Paul and Barnabas. So my first point is, Paul and Barnabas consecrated and sent out. In Acts 13, we have a shift in the narrative as the rest of the book focuses on Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 15, it'll shift even further from Paul and Barnabas to Paul and Silas in the remaining missionary journeys. So in Acts 13:1, it mentions five church leaders: Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manion, and Saul. And among these five, two are sent out. Barnabas had already been mentioned in Acts 4, 9, 11, and 12. What was predominant in Barnabas' character is his namesake, a son of encouragement. So far, he played a pivotal role in welcoming Saul at his conversion, and he helped to nurture Saul at the beginning of his teaching and preaching ministry. Simeon, who was also called Niger — Niger is a Latin word meaning black or dark, and it probably refers to Simeon being from Africa. Lucius of Cyrene — Cyrene was the capital of the Roman province Cyrenaica, in modern-day Libya, North Africa. It also mentions Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee is the ruler responsible for having executed John the Baptist. And so Manion grew up with, which means he was either a childhood companion of Herod and his family, or he was a foster brother, or had some close relationship with the family of Herod. In any case, Manion had this close relationship as he grew up with Herod and his family. And last of all, Saul was mentioned. Saul's conversion was recorded in Acts 9, and the beginning of his teaching ministry, including his time with Barnabas as they taught God's people in Antioch. These five men signified the ethnic variety among the church's leadership at Antioch and mirrored that city's demographic diversity. The text says then in Acts 13:2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Perhaps the Holy Spirit was speaking through these very prophets and teachers mentioned here, or through one or more of God's people gathered for worship. These two words, set apart, means to consecrate, to dedicate someone to a specific purpose. While that specific purpose is not mentioned in the text here, we can infer from the rest of the book that what Paul and Barnabas are being set apart to is to be itinerant missionaries and evangelists, preaching and teaching about the Lord Jesus throughout the cities to which they would journey. While five people were mentioned as prophets and teachers, it is these two out of five who were set apart and sent out. Acts 13:3 says that when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The people of God gathered, placed their hands on Saul and Barnabas in recognition of what the Holy Spirit had already done and what he was doing in sending them out to signify the unity of the church and her leaders, that those sent out from the church in Antioch had the blessing of God's people as they go out to the known world. One more comment before I move on to my second point, which is that the people of God gathered hear the Spirit's direction as they are gathered for worship and as they are praying and fasting. These two things, spiritual disciplines, praying and fasting, are what God's people have done from of old in both the Old Testament and the New, often occurring when the people of God are seeking God's direction, and sometimes coupled with mourning and repentance. And so they sought the face of God, and they also fasted. And as they did, the Holy Spirit gave the word that they were to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work of the ministry. That brings me to my second point, which was Paul and Barnabas' ministry on the island of Cyprus. Luke mentions two cities on the island of Cyprus, Salamis and Paphos. So Acts 13:5 says, when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. In keeping with this paradigm of Paul and his ministry, he preached the gospel to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And so Paul and Barnabas proclaimed the gospel first in Salamis, which is the northeastern end of the island of Cyprus. They preached the gospel in the Jewish synagogue. And it is while in Paphos that the narrative of Luke goes into more detail in Paul and Barnabas' interactions with the Roman governor, Sergius Paulus. The governor requests these two evangelists to meet with him so they can personally hear the word of God. Accompanying the governor to this meeting is a sorcerer and false prophet known as Elymas the magician. And Elymas resists the gospel and tries to prevent the governor from hearing and accepting the truth of God and the gospel as well. And so the Apostle Paul confronts Elymas the magician with these words in Acts 13:9-11. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. As Paul is saying these words, he is no doubt thinking upon his own conversion in which he was blinded and he had to be led by the hand. And so he warns Elymas not to stand in the way of Sergius Paulus hearing the gospel and turning to it. The governor, astonished as what he sees, believes the gospel. And so in this narrative, we see a miraculous intervention of God, that God worked against Elymas, who was opposing the gospel. It illustrated the truth of the gospel and the foolishness of trying to resist God's word and his Son and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With this miracle of blindness, it demonstrates that one who resolves to reject the truth of God's word and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, that person will walk about in darkness, blinded so badly that he cannot see. John's gospel in John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, bears witness to this truth. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. God's action against Elymas buttressed the faith of Sergius Paulus and gave him the assurance that what he was hearing from Paul and Barnabas was in fact the truth of God's word. Acts 13:12 concludes with these words, "Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord." And so we see a faithful exposition of the gospel along with a miraculous sign accompanying it. What astonished the governor was this combination of word and sign. The word being the apostles' teaching about the person of Jesus and his saving work, and the sign accompanying it, that one who tried to stand in the way of the governor hearing it was made blind for a time. While Luke does not say a lot about the content of what Paul and Barnabas said, in essence, with this miraculous act of judgment against unbelieving Elymas, it says a lot. Sergius Paulus was delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by believing in Jesus as the King of God's kingdom. Elymas walked about in darkness because he would not believe in Jesus as the light of the world and the Savior of the world. Elymas continued to be blind because he resisted this very message as Jesus as the light and the Savior of the world. May God strengthen us as members of his church, the body of Christ, to bear witness to Jesus as that light and that Savior of the world. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the work and ministry of the ancient church and in your continuing church throughout our day. Help the pastors and the faithful members of your church to make full use of the opportunities we have in our lives to serve and bear witness to your holy name and the saving message of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose holy name that we pray. Amen.